I was thinking this morning that throughout the Old Testament, there are hundreds of times where people came in the name of the Lord. Gideon said, in the name of the Lord. David said against the giant, I come in the name of the Lord. And every time they did that, they got the victory. But what's really amazing is that they didn't know the name of the Lord. But somehow, God honored what they were doing. And even though they didn't know the name, there was still power in saying, I come in the name of the Lord. Because the name of the Lord has always been in existence. It's just that he didn't reveal it until his flesh came. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29 says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us, say us, and to our children forever, that we may do all of the words of this law. God saying to this church over and over, I got a secret. I want to tell you. And it makes us a privileged people, because you know what he's saying is, I trust you more than I trust anybody else. 2 Timothy, the first chapter. Chapter 1 and verse number 9. It says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So, what he's saying is that there's a calling and there is a purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the Gospels. So he has ordained the revelation long before the world was even in existence. And then if you'll turn to our last scripture in John, the 15th chapter. Starting in verse number 11, Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. There's always contingencies about the blessings of God. If you will, I will. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. So what Jesus knows in the flesh, we know in the flesh. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. You see the contingency here? We didn't choose God. God chose us, but he's asking us to be fruitful. And if we'll be fruitful and we'll do the work that God has ordained us to, he said, then why don't you just ask whatever you want, and I'm going to give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love this, love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. How many understand that concept? Why do you hate me? Well, You don't fit in, folks. You're a pair of brown shoes in a tuxedo world. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Why? Why? Because they know not him that sent me. If they knew Jesus, if they knew God like we know God, they'd understand us. They wouldn't have any feelings that are contrary towards us. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for the freedom that we have and the anointing that's in this place. God, that your word would go forth unhindered. Lord, it would accomplish exactly what you would have it accomplish this morning, that you touch every life, touch our minds, but God, allow it to fall to our heart and become a part of us. Amen. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. According to Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter and verse 29, the secret things belong unto the Lord. But those things that are revealed unto us, that we would understand God's purpose for our life and understand the value God has put on us and the relationship with him. And then according to John 15, Jesus said, the world will never accept us because they know not him that sent me. So the greatest secret in the world is who is God. Amen. The devil doesn't want you to know who God is. He wants God to be a nameless God. He wants him to be a mystery, someone that's way out in space, a long ways from us, that just keeps everything rolling, but he doesn't want to have any kind of intimacy or contact with us. But just to the contrary, God wants to be involved in every minute area of your life. Not just the major situations, but everything. Hallelujah. You get up in the morning, it's good morning, Jesus. Hallelujah. All through the day, you're thinking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're asking him questions, and he wants to talk to us. Did you know that there are more people who celebrate Mother's Day than there are people who celebrate Father's Day? That's right. I mean, they have taken polls, and there's no question. Hands down, mothers win. Why? Because they can identify their mother, but many times they don't know who the father is. He was there for the conception, but he left soon after and hasn't been seen since. The mother was the one left to raise the children, and she is the only one who can really identify who the father really is. What a perfect example of most churches today. There are more people who love the church or the mother. Oh, I love that church. But they don't have the same love for the father because they really don't know who the father is. They know the denomination, they know the name of the church, but they don't even know the name of the father who produced the church. Hallelujah. Because they can identify the mother. But they don't know who their real father is. You see, he hasn't been seen since 10 days before the church was born. And no one's seen him since then. And the newborn saints are left to be raised by the mother or the church. And we, the real church, are the only one who can identify the father by name. Amen. You want to know who the real church is? We're the one who knows who the father of the church is. We understand that. And we didn't receive the knowledge by our wisdom, but we received the knowledge by the Spirit of God, the secret things that God has revealed unto us, so we can draw closer to God. Hallelujah. Would you turn to Acts, the first chapter? Some of you read this before. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. So there are some secrets that God won't reveal to the church. He hasn't even told the angels about. But then he goes on to say what he will reveal to them. He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, that ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth. I looked up that word and I've used this over and over throughout the years. And of course, the word is dunamos, which we get dynamite from. It means miraculous power, but it also means understanding. It also means revelation. And what I'm going to give you is not only power to witness and create the miracles, but I'm going to give you an understanding and a revelation of me that is so important. We're looking always for the power. We want the miracles. We want the demonstrations of God's Spirit. But God, Lord, you're so merciful. You've given us revelation and insight into your word that's much more important. Now, there are some secrets that belong to God and aren't revealed to anyone else. And that's all right with me. I feel that God has given us all of the information we need to know in order to live a complete life full of joy and happiness within these pages. There are a lot of people who have never read this book and they're an expert of what it says. That men have written it and it's all just a bunch of rules and regulations in order to bring us down. No, it's to bring us up. It's to give us joy. Matthew 24 and 36, Jesus said, but of the day and the hour, no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Can you imagine what would happen if that secret got out? If somehow an angel spilled the beans, or God somehow said, you know what, I'm coming in October 17th, 2014, there are some people who would live any which way they wanted until the last week for Jesus, and then the churches would fill up because we know when Jesus is coming. But we don't know, and I believe the day is quicker than we can possibly imagine, as God told us this morning. Hallelujah. They are some of the things, the important secrets that are a down payment. They're revelations to us for those who will seek after him when it isn't convenient to seek after him. And to those who are filled with God's Spirit, they are the down payment of what is yet to be revealed unto each and every one of us. I don't know about you, but you know, I find myself in my office studying the Word, and then every once in a while, God will show me something that I had never seen over the last, four decades, and it brings tears to my eyes, and I get so excited about it because revelation is greater than a miracle, folks. An understanding of God and who he is and what he can do is just the ultimate as far as I'm concerned. Would you turn to 1 Corinthians, the second chapter? Starting in verse number 6, it says, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of Savior. The thing that God did is he kept it a secret, so the devil would be fooled to put him on the cross, which gave us the victory. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. In other words, the Spirit of God reveals it to us. Isn't it amazing? You can walk up to somebody and show them the scripture and get so excited about it because what God has revealed to us, and they look at it with a blank stare on their face because it can't be revealed except through the Spirit of God. Amen. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Amen. Oh, thank you for the information, God, that you so freely give us on a regular basis. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You don't get this out of a book, folks. You get it in the presence of God. When you start seeking God and you're filled with God's Spirit, there's a whole brand new world that is opened up to us. And we walk through that door and God shows us things that we had never seen before. Glory to God. Jesus gave portions of truth to his disciples and then he tested them. And he said, now, who do men think I am? And then he came to, who do you think I am? Amen. Glory to God. Thank God for the earnest of our inheritance, which is the revelation of who God is. Amen. Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't just sit down with his disciples and say, now the only way I could save you from your sins was for me, Elohim, the creator of the heavens and earth, to put on the flesh of man and become a sacrifice for your sins. I'm not the second person in the Godhead. I don't look like or act like God. I am not just a facsimile of God, but I am God. And my name is Jesus. You know, I'm thinking, God, that would have been so much simpler, you know, because there would be no confusion among the disciples as to who you are, or even the Pharisees. They could figure it out because you became so plain, but Jesus could have expressed it in the simplest of terms so even a Bible scholar could understand. But he didn't. He kind of camouflaged it. He kind of kept it under a veil, didn't say it straight out because he had a purpose. He was sort of God incognito for a while, you know, until after the cross. And then he made it very clear. Take a look at John, the 17th chapter, please. John 17. And verse 21, Jesus says that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have I known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Glory to God. Now, don't get me wrong here, but I can see why some people, including the disciples, were a little bit confused. Because the way Jesus was talking here is he's talking to another entity, you know, about the people he loved. I can see why they're confused, even when Peter got an A for his right answer, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus then responded, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now you just declared that you are the Father, and now you're saying that the Father declared it and gave you the information or the revelation, and you can see why some people come to the conclusion that there's more than one God, especially through the Gospels. Hallelujah. Well, I thought I knew who God was. That's perhaps what Peter is saying, and now I'm back to confusion again, you see. Even when Jesus said in John 14 and 9, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Even then they weren't convinced. Glory to God. Turn to Romans, the 16th chapter. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandments of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So we find that it was a mystery from the foundation of the world, but now it has been revealed to us. We are a generation that has been approved of God. We are, I believe, the generation that Jesus is coming back for. And there's a greater responsibility and a greater pressure on all of us because he has revealed himself to us like he hasn't revealed himself to any other generation. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, many have sought out the name of God. Moses. Well, you want me to deliver your people, but tell me your name. Well, I'm sorry, I can't tell you your name. But I want you to refer to me as the I am. I am whatever you need, but I'm not going to give you the name. Hallelujah. Jacob wrestled with God face to face, and his life was preserved, and he begged God for his name, and God wouldn't give it. He wouldn't. In fact, God said, please let me go. And he changed his name like he's changed your name. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter, it says that we have received revelation that the prophets of the Old Testament did, even though it was Christ in them that caused them to prophesy. And they prophesied of things that they would never understand, but we in our generation see it very clearly. Hallelujah. Can you imagine going through the motions every day in a tabernacle in the wilderness, doing the things that God has commanded, and they had no idea, no concept of why they were doing it, but it set up a plan of salvation for us, and now we see clearly what they never saw over hundreds of years. But God would not reveal his name before he came in the flesh. In the Old Testament, they knew God as Elohim or Jehovah. But those were not the names of God. They were simply the titles of God. Makes a big difference. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd like the only husband in here to stand up. Well, that doesn't work, does it? Because there are many husbands, and there are many gods that are recorded within the scripture. And we say, would God stand up? Well, I'll tell you what, there's all kinds of gods, there's all kinds of religions, but those are just titles of what they many times are self-professed, self-appointed. Glory to God. Would you turn to Hebrews, the first chapter? Hebrews 1:1 says, God, who at sundry or many times and in divers or different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. So our God many times and in many different ways has spoken to the people in the past, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son or flesh, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So it's saying that in this time, it was Jesus who spoke directly to us. And did you know, by the way, that he made the worlds? Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image, or the exact personage, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, or had all of the power, being made so much better than an angel, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Glory to God. There were many titles of God that were the description of a position or the attributes of God. If you can understand that all of these titles in the Old Testament simply were there in order to describe the position that God has and all of the attributes and the character of our God. In fact, most every one of the prophets that you see in the Old Testament were a type and a shadow of Jesus Christ to a certain extent, you know? Isaac, long-awaited, impossible birth, it's Jesus, you know? On and on and on. Moses, who delivered his people. Abraham, who was faithful. Glory to God. And so God was drawing pictures throughout the Old Testament. This is what I look like. But I can't give you the name yet. Hallelujah. Elohim is translated 2,300 times in the Bible, meaning God. That's what Elohim means. Elohim is not the personal name of God. It is the official title of God. Like president is the title of the chief executive of the United States. But president is not the name of the president. It's just the title or the position that the president holds. The meaning of Elohim is literally the putter forth of power or the strong one. Now, the word God and Lord in capital letters, whenever you see it within the Bible, are translated into Jehovah. There can be many Elohims or gods, little G-O-D, of this world, but there is only one Jehovah which identifies the true God. Hallelujah. Exodus 20:2 says, I am the Lord thy God, or I am Jehovah thy Elohim. I am the God that provides the power, but I also provide the sanctification and deliverance for you. Not any other God is in that position in order to give you deliverance, but Jehovah is in a place where he can deliver us from our sins. Every time Jehovah is used, it is connected with the deliverance power of God. This name was so sacred to the Jews that it was written by them, but they would never pronounce it because they were afraid they would pronounce it wrong, and eventually it lost its vowels, and then they referred to him as the YHVH. Can you imagine losing the name of God? You can lose your car keys, folks. You can lose your wealth. But hallelujah, don't lose the name of God. Hallelujah. Because if you lose the name of God, you've lost it all. Jehovah means self-existent or eternal one. Psalms 40 and 17 says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord, or Adonai, thinketh upon me. Adonai here means master or owner. Again, not a name, but a title, that he is not only the one who delivers us, not only a God, but he is the master and owner of each and every one of us. In Genesis 17 and 1, it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord, or Jehovah, appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, or Elohim. And the word Almighty here is El Shaddai, and I walk before you, be ye perfect. So El Shaddai means Almighty God, the all-sufficient God. And we have another picture. We have another title of God. Not only is he our deliverer, not only is he our savior, not only is he the self-existent one, not only is he the master and owner of us, but he is the mighty and all-sufficient God that can take care of every one of our situations. Abram was 99 years old and he was not able to bring forth a child of promise, but El Shaddai was there. And we get ourselves into all kinds of fixes and all kinds of dilemmas, but I want you to know that there is an El Shaddai, the Almighty One, that is there, who is going to do the miracles for each and every one of us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are nine Jehovistic combinations of God's attributes to meet every redemptive need that we have. And in every one of these titles, it describes another attribute and purpose that God has for us, and they all point forward to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Jehovah Jireh. My God's going to provide. Genesis 22 and 14. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth. Exodus 15 and 26. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Exodus 17 and 15. There's a banner, according to the scripture, that floats over us, that identifies us as a child of the King wherever we go. Now, in the spiritual world, they see that. Hallelujah. Don't you be running from the princes of this world because you got a banner over you that says, belongs to me, belongs to me. Hallelujah. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord that sacrifices, Leviticus 20 and 8. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord of our peace. When you don't have peace, you have someone who can bring you peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. Judges 6 and 24. Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 23:6, we are as filthy rags. We do not have righteousness, but the righteousness we have is the Lord Jesus Christ over us. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. Ezekiel 48:35. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my shepherd. And he is. He's always there to guide us, to lead us into the green pastures, to make us lie down. So why do we study these Old Testament titles of God? Why? Well, number one, it gives us a beautiful picture of who God is. You know, it was a God who said, I can't give him my name, but I want to give him little thumb pictures of who I am. I want to give him a little clue of what my character is like. I am that I am. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, ever since Exodus, the third chapter, all of the people of God knew the I am. And then Jesus comes on the scene and in John 8 and says, before Abraham was, I am. Because all these progressive titles of God roll forward and invest all their power and meaning in the final consummation of the name of all ages, the name Jesus. Amen. And I'm so glad that, you know, I live in a place that has the freedom to speak the name of Jesus. We're not living on the other side of the earth that many people who have never heard the name above every name. Jesus is the totality and sum total of all of the attributes, of all of the titles in the entire book. And we haven't even scratched the surface of the Rose of Sharon, the Lamb of God, all of the attributes and all of the titles that are found in the book. It would take us all morning to just identify them. But Colossians 2:10 says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He's El Shaddai, Adonai, Elohim, Jehovah, the self-existent one. He is my God. He is the one who has laid down his life for you and I. And I could have been born 2,000 years ago and perhaps seen him in the flesh, but not experienced him the way I experience him today. There came a time 4,000 years after the creation, that the vault of heaven was now opened. A sealed envelope was placed in the hands of an angel by the name of Gabriel. And he was instructed to take the name to a humble girl named Mary. I don't know if Gabriel understood the importance of what he was doing, but he brought to earth the name that was above every name. Matthew 1:2 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. The first time the name was ever used in Scripture, for he shall save his people from their sins. I don't believe that anyone can adequately describe how important this name above all names is. No one. I don't think anybody could understand the power that is in the name of Jesus. All heaven stands at attention with the name of Jesus. Sometimes we get so familiar with the name of Jesus that perhaps we don't understand the power and the significance, especially us Pentecostals. Because we use it so frequently and we don't really comprehend the power that is in that name. One thing I know is neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no name baptisms in this place. We're going to use the name. When we pray for the sick, we're going to use the name. When we're looking for deliverance, we're going to use the name. When we're praying for our family, we're going to use the name. Hallelujah. The one and only God of the Old Testament robed himself in flesh so that we could be reconciled unto him. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 5 and 19 says it all. It says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Would you turn to Philippians, the second chapter? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6 says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Kairos, meaning supreme authority, to the glory of God the Father. He's the supreme authority. No one above him. Glory to God. And then Colossians, the first chapter. Starting in verse number 13. I know these are familiar scriptures to most of you. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Well, obviously we're talking about Jesus. Now let's get a better description. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by him, by Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. By him all things consist or are held together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence or first in rank. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. If you go back to Isaiah 43. A few weeks ago, I went over a lot of these scriptures in Isaiah. Isaiah 43 and verse number 10. It says, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, supreme deity, and beside me there is no Savior. So the God of the Old Testament that we're talking about, that has all these titles, is the only God, and he is even our Savior. And I'm glad I know his name. You'll turn to Revelation, the fourth chapter. I know this isn't a quick meal, but I'll tell you, it'll stay with you. Revelation 4 and verse number 1, we're talking about the rapture and how there's going to be a door open in heaven. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit. You see, you're not going to get anything except you're in the spirit. And behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. His name is Jesus. Just one. One throne. Glory to God. Colossians 3 and 17 says, and whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Everything we do. Amen. If the Lord wills. Ephesians 4 and 5 says, one Lord or supreme deity, one faith or religious truth, and one baptism. Got more than one? It's not scriptural. Verse 6 says, there is one God or supreme deity and Father of all, who is above all or superimposed over us, and through all or channels all of his power in you all. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one supreme God that is hovering over us and through us, because we have the revelation of who God is. Not any name will do. Not any formula will do. Well, I've been baptized and God knows, you know, that. No, I'm sorry. There's a purpose in the name whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has revealed his name and hovers over us and through us to give us power, not just by spirit, but by revelation, folks? What do you do when you walk out of here and you're no longer feeling the power of the song service? Hallelujah. Some backslide because they haven't got the revelation of who Jesus is and how important it is to conform to the Word of God. And they have to keep getting their fix over and over and over again. But I'll tell you what, if you have the facts, if you have the understanding, if you know the revelation, you know the power of the name. Hallelujah. Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I have is I have a revelation of who God is. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is, the name above every name. In a sense, we know it. But do we use it? Amen. You know, I said a couple of weeks ago, there's something that has irritated me. Sometimes I get into these ministerial meetings and I hear someone say, Father, in the name of Jesus. And it just bothers me, because what it's implying is there's two separate entities. The Father is Jesus, folks. The Son is Jesus. The Holy Ghost is Jesus. Hallelujah. Three that bear record, and they're just one. Glory to God. One more scripture, if you'll turn to Acts, the 8th chapter. If the musicians would come. Acts chapter 8 and verse number 26. Says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. The shadow and type here is Philip is in a great church service. He's in a great revival. The Spirit of God is moving. And right in the middle of that spirit of revival, God speaks to Philip and said, I want you to leave here because there's a task that I have for you. And he arose and went, and behold, a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for it to worship. He's on his way to a church service. Was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me or teach me the way? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. Thank God Philip opened his mouth. And begat it the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? You see, you can't preach Jesus without preaching baptism, folks. Hallelujah. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, what? That Jesus is God. Amen. Thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is God. Hallelujah. If you understand the revelation, there won't be any arguing about baptism. There won't be any arguing about holiness. There won't be any arguing about what you need to do. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water. Obviously, they didn't develop sprinkling yet. Both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah. I hope we can go on our way this morning rejoicing, because I know Jesus is the Father. I know Jesus is the Son. I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. Would you stand with me?
My grace, which brings salvation, hath appeared.
you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says that we all have the family name. Isn't that great? I don't care if your name is Schwartz or Smith or Schneider or Schumacher. Your name ends with the name above all names. It's James Schumacher Jesus. And I've got the family name. And that's what binds us together, folks. And that's what gives us the authority. Amen. You might want to come to this altar and thank him for the revelation and the understanding that you have.